So this override button, what does that do? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and call to order the Amador Air District Board of Directors meeting for Tuesday, August 18th at 1:30. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Okay, looking for an approval of the agenda. Okay, first by Director Crew, second by Director Forrester. All in favor of approving? Yeah, I was going to say all in favor of approving the agenda. Say aye.
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 Aye. Any noes? Okay, so it's approved 6-0. Public matters not on the agenda. Discussion items only. No action will be taken. Anybody wish to address the board this time? Or is anybody online, Herminia? Okay. All right, so let's move on to the regular agenda, administrative matters. We have the review of the minutes for June 16th, 2020. Any questions or comments on that? So we have a first by motion by Director Forrester, second by Director Stimson. I didn't say that. Okay, so we have a first and second, so all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have a public hearing on the final fiscal year 2020-2021 district budget. So let's open the public hearing and... Mike, you'll be able to tee this up for the board, please.
Right. So what you see before you is essentially the same that we presented at the last special meeting to review the budget. We have made a couple of changes to a couple of lines to reflect some of the sentiment of some of the board members. The intent was to draw down our cash reserve a little bit. The target that the board adopted a couple of years back was to try to keep cash reserves at anywhere between 25% and 200% of the three-year average operating costs for the department. That three-year average over the last 3 years is about $323,000. Our target with this budget is $329,000 cash reserves, so it's just about equal to the operating costs, so that's right within that range, comfortably, I think. And the line items that we bumped up have to do with providing such programs as the pine needle bins and the CCAT program. Other than that, I think the budget is essentially the same as what you reviewed last time around.
Okay, and those changes, didn't we ask for those changes last time, right?
Correct. There was discussion about bringing it back with an increase to those two lines.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Mike, the $70,000 increase to develop programs and improve air quality, is this an expansion of the pine needle program primarily?
Half of it went to the pine needle program. The other half is going to CCAD. We're going to look for more places locally that we can help folks replace equipment.
My only concern there was we went whole hog into it, and we backed off because there were significant problems identified, primarily with contractors using the bins and with people throwing trash in them. So I don't want to go back to that.
Correct. We're looking at our existing, I think we've got 6 neighborhood bin sites currently. Is that correct? They're well-supervised, well-operated. I swung by one of them to spot check per board's direction. Matt's been by repeatedly to the bins. Every once in a while, you'll find a little bit of something to clean up, but they're supervised a lot better than the bins that we had in the past. The one at Sutter Creek is closely supervised by the fire department there. In fact, I had a call 2 weeks ago from an area resident just to thank me or to thank the county for providing the bin there. And that, the ACES bin program, the once a month for several months out of the year, costs a fair amount of money. It's more expensive to run that program there than it is to keep the bin year-round in Sutter Creek. So one of the changes that I would like to see is to copy the Sutter Creek kind of model up country somewhere. We've got a few locations that are candidate locations, two of which have on-site supervision, people that live on-site that would be able to keep an eye on things, you know, to kind of dissuade the commercial dumping and dumping of garbage and that kind of thing. The other site is behind a locked gate. It's not currently manned, but perhaps we can find volunteer or low-cost supervision to be able to keep good control over that. I don't want to go back to an unsupervised bin just, you know, out where people have free access to it.
That's good to hear. The Sutter Creek dumpster at the station, I think it's a great location, well supervised, but is it has it become basically for use of only Sutter Creek residents, or does he have any records that show other people, Amador City, Dry Town, or wherever, are utilizing it?
I don't know that he's got records, but the individual that called me actually lives in Sutter Highlands, not within the city, and he's got large acreage, and he said he really appreciates being able to go down there whenever he wants to haul brush and leaves and stuff like that, because otherwise he'd be, you know, multiple loads at God knows how much, taking it to the transfer station. So I know that at least one person from outside city limits is using it, and Dominic has indicated in the past, I don't know that he's got documentation, but he said he knows that there are other folks from out of the area that come there.
So there is there a place that's supervised for, like, the Pine Grove area? Because I guess there's a backup at the transfer station.
The transfer station is, and this is kind of one of our items, but we can go ahead and kind of cover it now, is becoming problematic. Their permit for the solid waste facility has a cap on the amount of vehicles per day, and I know that on peak use days they overshoot that. I've told Paul Senior that the LEA, the local enforcement agency that oversees the solid waste permit, will look at the average for the month, and if their average overshoots what that is, we don't care about a peak day so much as, you know, the overall average, and if the average overshoots that, then we need to look at, you know, possibly, you know, revising the permit or doing something like that. That particular location, if we do anything significant to increase traffic, is going to be a problem just because of stacking and turn motions and that kind of thing out onto Highway 88. So I don't know that we want to trigger that with any kind of changes in our Greenways program. If we relocate a bin, not host those once-a-month episodes there, but host it somewhere else, that's going to give them a little bit more breathing room. And one of the requests that he made is, can we shift from Saturday to another day, either Sunday or Monday? If they go to Sunday, they're going to have to change their use permit, which is going to trigger CEQA. They don't want to do that. Sunday's a weekend day. That works better for me than, or for most of the public, than Monday. Monday, he's got staff on hand. They're not open to the general public, but they're doing hauling and that kind of thing. It would be more cost-effective for him, or for us, rather, to do it on Monday, but less user-friendly for our public. Sunday would be better for our public, but it would significantly increase costs. We're, you know, looking at ballpark $20,000 a year, I think, to fund the bin there at ACES just for the once a month. And I think over the last year at the Sutter Creek site, it's been around $13,000. So it's more cost effective to do it that way, it seems, where we're not paying for the oversight.
But you could expand that the bin program at Sutter Creek Fire Station, depending on money, but could expand it to all the cities in the same way. I know Jackson probably has room at their Argonaut station. I'm not sure Ione has room even at their new station, but it'd be something to look at with the chiefs, and if it's going to stop people burning and help air quality, and if it's properly managed, then why not?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I will hit up the chiefs and see if there are interest at several locations at fire stations, because they are, you know, as long as they're manned, they're well supervised, and it seems like the firefighters are just kind of waiting around to do something to help somebody.
Of course, you're talking about a chief with Dominic that lives at the station, though, too, most of the time.
Is there a place in Plymouth at the station, you think?
I don't know. I would have to check it out and ask. I don't know. Matt, have you looked into that at all?
No, I just did one in Fiddle County. It didn't work out well.
All right.
Yeah, Plymouth. No, Plymouth, Fiddle County, and
Matt, there's a flat spot up behind the station. You kind of go up a little rise. Is that part of their property, I wonder? There's no fence or anything back there. Yeah.
And if I own...
You come in on the south side and it goes around and there's...
Yeah.
If there's no room and I own it at the station, I know you could probably put it at my house. So.
It'd be well supervised, I'm sure.
We'll get your address out.
That's my only caveat on the budget changes is the sites have to be someplace where they can be overseen or,
yes,
or managed so that we don't fall back to where we were.
Agreed.
And all the public can go to them.
Right.
That's been one of the problems that I had up in my area is just the road associations and all these different places had the bins, but you know the general public didn't know who, what, where, or why. So when we... You know, we started this in Pine Grove, and I started putting it out there. Everybody was ecstatic,
mm-hmm.
You know, that they, you know, they had the capability. Because we'd have the bin there, you know, at Mace Meadows and one of the other places, Silver Drive, and it was there for the 2 weeks, and then it was gone, and nobody knew. There was no coordination on it in that aspect.
Right. A lot of times people kind of miss that window of opportunity and they're kind of confused where the bin's going to be located
right.
next. Whereas if it's at a fixed site year-round, so, you know, my next weekend that I have free, I can go ahead and haul, that works out a lot better for most folks, I think.
Right.
Any other questions or comments from the board today? Do we have anybody from the public either on Zoom? Okay. So
move to close the public hearing then.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0. So the recommendation is to approve the proposed budget for 2020-2021. Can I have a motion on that, please?
So move.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Brown, a second by Director Stimson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0.
Four, I think.
Is it four? Okay. All right, so moving on to the next item, which is the smoke reduction bin program, the pine needles, which we touched upon a little bit.
Right, and I'll just briefly rehash a little bit. Our intent is to continue with the free bin once a month at ACES throughout the season this year, but by the time that exhaust, we're hoping to have at least one other location where we can do a Sutter Creek style bin. We've got, I think, three candidate sites in the Pine Grove Red Corral area right now, and based on direction from the board, we're going to be exploring further at fire agencies and cities. I mean, it's possible they may have a courtyard if their fire agency doesn't work for additional sites, and try to get everybody to get on board with supervising and making it open for everybody just in case, you know, somebody happens to want to go to Plymouth and they live in Jackson. There's mm-hmm. not going to be any requirement of showing proof. Do we want to limit to county residents only?
Where is it going to be located?
Well, we've got in the Pine Grove Red Corral area, we've got a few locations, not definite but possible candidate locations. One of the questions that comes up is I know that in West Point they have a transfer station. And because they have an assessment over there, dumping is free. Self-haul, you dump for free over there. They check for, because of that, they check for residency. You have to show, you know, some documentation that you're a Calaveras County resident. Since we're providing a free service, and there may be some tendency for people to cross the border, the question was, do we want to verify residency? And I'm seeing several heads nodding.
But do you think people, because it would only be from Calaveras, right? That would actually.
Well, I mean, there could be somebody coming over if we had one close enough to El Dorado County, say in Plymouth. There might be somebody self-hauling over if they don't have a free option on their side of the river.
But this would have to be a supervised.
It would, right? Yeah, it would have to be much more closely supervised. As with the transfer station in Calaveras County, you have to touch base with somebody before you dump. Usually here there's just somebody around that's able to lend a hand if you're having a hard time, or, you know, make sure that, you know, you don't have John's Landscaping on the side of your truck as you pull in to dump.
Yeah.
Could we just keep an eye on volume, and if the volume gets completely out of hand, maybe then start checking for residency? Because these are temporary. We're not committing to putting them there year-round, are we?
Well, Sutter Creek, I believe, is year-round.
Well, no, I'm not Sutter Creek, I realize. But it's tried and true. It's proven.
Right. But I think what we're looking for is at least one other Sutter Creek-type location in the upcountry, Pine Grove to Pioneer. And if we have other sites at other cities, it might be that we run them for a month, 2-3 months, and usage goes down to almost nothing, in which case, you know, we might come back with a quarterly or a seasonal type operation. Just depends on, you know,
right,
what the demand is. But I agree with you. We could, just to make it easier on the oversight people that are essentially, for the most part, going to be volunteering their time, just, you know, have them keep tabs on things, not check everybody in and out. But if it gets to be a problem, if we're seeing a huge uptick in volume, particularly if it's close to one of the county lines, you know, rethink how we operate.
Right. You know, on the Pine Grove station issue on congestion, you might be able to relieve that by doing it like they do it in Comanche. They do dump day vouchers where ACES gives the association so many dump day vouchers. Except for, you could do it in Pine Grove with the green waste voucher, but only give out a certain amount for each day, so that they don't get deluged with people. Now, people may not like that because they can't go exactly when they want to, but that means they got to pick their vouchers up first.
I'll talk with Paul and find out if he thinks that might work.
Something to think about.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this particular item?
The courtyard might be better with that flat spot right outside that gate there.
Is there anyone typically on site during the day?
Yeah.
And there's a gate or a cable, isn't there? All the better. Right. Mm-hmm. Normally weekends, though, the gate or the cable is secured, right? Yeah.
So anything else from anybody at this time? Do you feel like you have enough direction?
I do. I feel like I've got a lot of options to look into.
Okay.
The one thing I'd like to add, is Supervisor Brown, is try to get some as much upcountry I can figure out. You know, we do call this Pine Needle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's higher in altitude. And, you know, did you ever find out if the county courtyard yard was it off of?
The preliminary feedback I'm getting from staff, public works staff, is that should be no problem at all because it doesn't see a high amount of use. The only issue we have there is supervision. We would need to line up either some organization to volunteer or find some way of providing supervision there. A couple of the other locations we have are church parking lots,
mm-hmm.
that have on-site residents that could keep an eye on things. That might be possibly a more convenient option, but we're going to take a look at all potential candidates. I definitely want to get something in that same area to replace the ACES site, so we're not telling people you got to drive 20 miles off in a different direction.
Right.
You know, somewhere in the same neighborhood. But I'm going to look at all of these other potential candidates, too, for Jackson, Plymouth, et cetera.
Do you think that it would be possible to contact the youth camp and have that as a site? I don't know if kind of in the Pine Grove area. It definitely has oversight.
Does anybody happen to know what kind of space they might have available that is fairly accessible to the public?
I don't know.
Okay, that's
what their security issues are.
It would be.
I went in there.
Ah.
No cell phones allowed. Check in at the visitor's office. A lot of requirements.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I thought of it as an opportunity, but then once I drove through the gate, read all the signs, and saw all the, you know, everyone out and about moving, I didn't. I go like, this is probably not going to be having a public.
Yeah. I don't know if there would be a way to put it at near the before you go inside the perimeter. I went there to meet Rob Withrow. I didn't have to go through much of anything. So I don't know. It would be a good it would be a good location for Pine Grove.
But you're going to come bring this back to the board before anything else?
If the board wishes for staff to, we'll bring it back to get board confirmation of sites.
I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, any other comment? Nobody online, Herminia? Okay. Well, let's move on to item number 4, succession planning. And, Mike, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, just want to make the board aware that I am planning on retiring. Last day of employment to be December 30th this year. And rather than have a last-minute selection of air pollution control officer, my recommendation to the board is let's plan for it. Let's plan for the transition. I think that the best choice would be from in-house. I've talked to both Matt and Herminia about this. Matt is not particularly interested in that position. However, Herminia is. She would welcome the challenge. And I think that the board has a lot of confidence in Air District staff. And so my recommendation would be to allow us to plan for a smooth transition to bring Herminia Perry up into the air pollution control officer status.
Okay, board.
You know, we just get things settled and we're running along smoothly and you want to go and retire.
to a large extent, it's not my decision. Well, true, yeah.
Mike, did you run that by Chuck at all?
I did talk to him about it, and he is essentially in agreement. Yeah, he had a few questions, ifs, ands, or buts, but yeah.
I'll bet he did.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, you know that you'd have to outbreak the computer over here, right?
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
thing I would say is I don't know much about Ms. Perry's background. So I don't know where she was educated, what, anything. I'd like to see something.
Sure.
Should we
I guess one of my issues is you're going up with other APCOs across the state, and some of these are going to be, there's going to be all kinds of different levels of education. Maybe some haven't even finished high school. Maybe some have a PhD. I don't know. But I would gather, Mike, have you been to any meetings on Zoom or anything with other APCOs?
Phone, not Zoom.
So you're dealing with some people that have a background.
Right.
So I'd at least like to see some background on Ms. Perry and before we proceed so we can look at the big picture.
Right.
Educational.
Yeah. I have a bachelor's degree in biology from UC Davis and been a registered environmental health specialist for 30 years. Armenia, I believe you also have a bachelor's degree, is that correct?
I do. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration with a general management concentration. And I graduated from Sac State.
I'd like to see something down on paper, if you could do that, please.
I certainly can.
And
well, a just simple formal application for the jobs that would give us a lot of the information we might.
And I think you could send that to the board members since we're talking about it now. So
just kind of general application material, so yeah. Cover maybe a cover letter or no? Expressing interest and...
her view of the qualifications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have the inside track.
Yeah. I'm a fan of promoting from within, but we need to look around. We got some time. But she definitely has the inside track.
Okay. Any other comments from board members? Any public comment? Anybody on Zoom, Herminia? Okay. All right. Well, we'll wait till the next meeting, and you'll send some information before then, informational packet.
Yeah, if we could get that before the next meeting,
that'd be good.
Yeah, because the next meeting is not till October.
And we're going to have to make a decision.
Okay.
Would we be making a decision in October? The reason I ask is personnel matters, shouldn't we be in closed session if we're going to be making a decision?
Yeah, we might have to have a special closed session in September, special meeting closed session, because otherwise, hopefully we would move forward, but if the board decided right. not to move forward, then we're really in a spot. We'd have to tell Mike he's got to stay longer.
Okay, we can do that. Maybe in September we can have a special closed session meeting.
Good thought, Tom.
Okay, any other comments on this? All right, let's move on to item 5, the APCO update information only.
Okay, mainly what I've got for you is the financials. No other really exciting information. We've had a few complaints, nothing major. So if you look through the financials, you can see that we are, I think, at or above expected revenue. Is that correct?
We are right on track with our budget. This is the full year's end. Fiscal year for the whole QuickBooks.
For 1920. So you'll see that in some areas we've spent more than budgeted, other areas less than budgeted. Carl Moyer program, substantially less than budgeted. We couldn't get CAPCOA staff to act on being able to expend the funds during that fiscal year. Hopefully we'll be able to get it done within the very near future. But other than that, things are not too terribly out of kilter.
Any comments or questions from the board?
On the expenses by vendor detail, there's a bill on there, Jim McCargue bill, 11-4-20. CAPCOA, is that just a renewal of the CAPCOA fee?
Yeah, that was the renewal for his membership at CAPCOA.
Well, Jim's name is just on there.
Because it was, he was still here when we renewed, so it's Mike now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One other item on there is
that was for a tractor, I believe. The Parker Farmer expense?
Yeah, we did that in October of last year.
Yeah, and that was for a tractor, correct?
Yeah.
And on that one, that money comes in and it goes right back out. So we got the money, the grant money from the farmer program, gets deposited into our account, and then we disperse out to the Parkers.
Any other comments, questions? Any public comment? Any Zoomers? I think the only Zoomer we had signed off. Okay, so this is informational only. So finally, let's move on to the last item, which is correspondence. And I guess there's two of them, one from Jennifer Gobershock. And do we typically, I read through the letter, and she seems to really like our pine needle program, and I guess she copied the Fire Safe Council on that. Is there any comments that the board wants to make on this one? Okay, and then there's another letter. It was addressed to Chairman Crew. And it's from the Coalition for Clean Air, and they want to invite Amador County Air Pollution Control District to be part of the California Clean Air Day, which is October 7th, 2020. Have we participated in this in the past?
Have not, no.
Have not.
I'm not that well informed about this organization. I looked into them a little bit after receiving the letter. They are, I think, headquartered in Southern California. They affiliate with several other environmental groups. Before I spend much time getting involved with this, I think I want to check with some other small rural air districts, their air pollution control officers, find out if they know anything about them. This might be something that wouldn't hurt to go ahead and put a link on our website to sign on to a pledge. That, you know, the pledge items are not really that onerous. They're not long-term binding or anything like that. They're, I mean, for the individuals, it's like plant a tree or you know, walk to work or take the bus or something like that. For organizations like the Air District, just a little bit more involved if you're going to pledge to one or more of their items on their checklist. But before we spend much time, I think, thinking about that, I would like to talk to our counterparts in Calaveras and Tuolumne and Mariposa and find out what they think about this. And if they're not interested, neither am I.
Okay. It doesn't look like it's because it's October 7th, we probably won't have a meeting.
Well, we're going to have a special meeting in September.
Okay. If you think it's important.
If it looks like something that we want to do, we can have it on the agenda September 7th.
Okay.
I'll give you a report regardless whether it looks like something that's a good idea or if it's something that's for, you know, a Bay Area or Southern California County.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions or comments from the board? Any Zoomers or public comments from anyone? Nobody online. Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end, and so we're adjourned until October 20th.
September
Well, yeah, regular, but we'll have a special meeting in September.
Date to be determined by consensus.
All right. So meeting adjourned. Thank you for coming.